I'm delighted to be here. Let me start by making a fairly obvious point. I'm the only one not in a dog collar. And that is entirely accidental. But maybe it actually says something about me. I was at a thing in Milton Keynes recently at the Open University, and Gladys was there. And I started my contribution by saying, I'm not a particularly religious person. I'm just a very committed Christian. So I look at my three clerical brothers and sisters and say to them, I hope you're not terribly religious either, even though you're wearing your dog collars. Like everybody here, you could tell your own story at some length. Let me just start really a bit like Harold, a bit mixed up. Methodist Church in Moira was where I came to know the Lord. So being here in a Methodist church and being greeted at the door by a Methodist colleague from the Belfast Education Board and having to endure the Methodist minister of this congregation's company on Saturday leaves me in feeling entirely at home with weird people. But Methodism is my Christian roots. I come from a very rural area near Lurgan, a wee village called Machrelin. There's a song about that, which I'll not inflict on you. The Ducks of Machrelin. There's a story behind that. And I was actually, believe it or not, a very quiet wee lad. I was an only child in a rural community. And it was really when I went to Trinity and I bumped into Harold Miller when I was there. And it was people like Harold and others from right across the Christian spectrum who, in a sense, took my experience of Christ, my conversion, they took it apart and then rebuilt it into what I hope has turned out to be a much more coherent understanding of what it means to be a Christian, but I'll come back to that in a wee minute or two. After I left college, I went into a real job. I became a civil servant. There's obviously a lot of civil servants here. Really enjoyed that. And found myself on one or two occasions with very, very difficult ethical decisions to make in the workplace, which made a huge impression on me. Don't have time to go into that. But actually made the point to me, which has stayed with me ever since, that to be a Christian in the workplace is often the most demanding place in which to follow Christ. But I learned some things there. One of the things they did was they sent me to London to the Civil Service College for 6 months. And when I was there, I sensed the Lord saying to me, this isn't for you over the long term. Out of that, I came home after they'd spent all their money on me, and a month later I wrote my resignation letter, which went down like the proverbial lead balloon, and went to work with what was then InterVarsity Fellowship in the northeast of England. Never been in the northeast of England in my life. It's even worse than being in East Belfast. It's a real wild place. First visit was wonderful. It was on a foggy, foggy, foggy night to a girls' PE college. It was wonderful. We'll just leave it at that. But one of the things I learned there with the UCCF was the importance of what I suppose is known in the jargon as Christian apologetics. How do you explain yourself? Can you articulate why you're a Christian? Why it matters to be a Christian, what you believe, why you believe it. Can you articulate this in sensible language to sensible people? And that has become, it was that foundation with the UCCF, I suppose, that has, along with what the guys like Harold did with me back in Trinity, those things have shaped me ever since. Let me then fast forward. After I left the UCCF, I came home, did my theological training. By this time, I had been truly converted and become a Presbyterian. (Clears throat) and spent 6 years up the road here in Finnicky with our house. Ev and I were married at that point, just a house just across the road here in Chadwick Street. Fast forward to Ballysillan, where we have lived on the interface close to the Ardoyne roundabout for the last 25, just over 25 years. First 10 years, I did 350 funerals. And I remember over a period of about a year saying to the Lord, there has to be something more to Christian ministry than this. Because I left what was a really exhilarating, if I can put it like this, career in the public service to do this. And I sensed that he was saying to me, and this was a bit of a process, was that actually your task is to build a new congregation in this part of North Belfast, which in his providence we have been able to do. But halfway into that 25-year period, in 2001, came the horror of the Holy Cross dispute. Most of you will know a wee bit about it. It was described by Dennis Murray, one of the BBC's sort of wonderfully revered correspondents, as the most difficult thing he had ever had to cover in the Troubles, because it involved 4 and 5 and 6 year old kids over a period of 3 or 4 months. And I found myself in this very public arena. What does, in my own parish, at my own front door, almost literally, what does the local Presbyterian minister do when there is this massive public evil in his parish, and the kids and their parents are being led to school every day by the local Catholic priest, Father Aidan Troy? And that was, I think, along with perhaps my conversion, my being married and so forth, one of the 3 or 4 biggest events that have shaped me as a Christian, that particular 6 month period of Holy Cross. That relationship with Father Aidan was a very complex one, because clearly he was articulating in public, and rightly so, the concerns, the needs, the positions of the folks on the Catholic and nationalist side of our community up there. The folks who were doing the protesting were all Protestant, and I was one of 2 local Protestant ministers. Aidan and I had a very complex relationship, and a very happy one, because almost every day we talked below the radar when the cameras weren't looking. We prayed together, and then, of course, in public, we were trying to help resolve that acutely complicated and horrendous situation. And I suppose what the Lord did in that was to force me, as a very conservative Presbyterian and young minister, really, to force me into this public and private relationship with a very high-octane, high-profile member of the Catholic clergy. And that was certainly good for me in a whole range of ways. One of the things it did for me was that it took me on a continuing exploration of what is the proper relationship between the local church, the local churches, and the local community. How is that to be expressed at local level? Because by extension, that opens up the question of what it means to work together for the welfare of the city, to use Jeremiah's famous phrase from the Old Testament. What does it mean to love your neighbor when your neighbor, and I could use a whole lot of language that if it wasn't being recorded would be very graphic. What does it mean to love your neighbor? Love your neighbor. The guy living beside you. The guy on the other side. I remember, and given the district court, I'll be slightly careful, but let's put it like this. We live on the interface, and I'll put it like this. We have been assured by everybody, we know where you live, and you're just safe there. Just don't worry about it. What does it mean in practice at local parish level to be blessed because you are a peacemaker, a peacemaker. And you could go on and on and on with Scripture. And Kieran just made the comment to me that he doesn't want all the Scripture used before he stands up, so we'll leave it at that. But there is a huge mountain of Scripture that takes us into what does it mean to be a Christian pastor, a member of the local church at local level in the public arena. Is Christ divided? Christ is certainly divided institutionally. Absolutely. I mean, let's not beat about the bush. There are all sorts of structural relationships between the churches. Whether they do very much of value is a matter for you guys to tell us. I'm not sure they do. But let me be really encouraging. I think in the last wee while, we have refound a way of working together coherently and thoughtfully. You will have seen, for example, a couple of weeks ago, the leaders of the Catholic Church, the Anglicans, Methodists, and Presbyterians, putting out a joint statement following on the Haas talks. There will be more of that in the next few weeks and months, I can assure you. That was part of the reason I was with Harold on Saturday, indeed with David. There will be more of that. Because I think we have realized that in what is, seems to be an increasingly polarized and divided political and social arena, that one of the few institutions, in fact probably the only group that is in every parish in the land, is the church sector. Nobody else is everywhere. That is not in any way to minimize what community, cross-community work is doing. Absolutely not. But we are privileged within the church sector not to be dependent on public money for what we do, and we are privileged to be together in every parish right across this land. Is Christ divided? Well, it seems to me that looking into the future, the key lies not in the structures and the institutions of our denominations, but where I was a few minutes ago. The ability to promote a coherent and a compelling Christian message in the public square. I am often fed up by our, and sometimes embarrassed, I shouldn't be saying this, by our inability to articulate biblical and gospel values in an agreeable, God-honoring, winsome way out there in the public square. We seem to be obsessed with commenting on matters of sex, whether it be on the gay issue or on abortion or whatever. There is much more in the Scripture than those issues, important though they are. And I would love us, the totality of the Christian community, to be able to figure out rather more clearly than we do, what are we arguing for in this society? What do we take from the Scriptures? What do we take from the leading of the Spirit of God? What do we take from the teaching of Jesus? What do we take from the Old Testament prophets? That articulates something that people say, we would like that. We want that. Rather than squabbling amongst ourselves or getting worked up about other matters which are not, as it were, central to the great biblical themes of revelation and salvation. So that's my 15 minutes. Done. Thank you.